Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to History Dweebs. Our topic today is the Doctor of Death, Dr. Jack Kevorkian. My name is Brandy, and I am joined today by Chuck, the Colonel, Hawk, Most Dangerous Nipples in Podcasting, or whatever the hell Tim introduces him as. Walters, to my right. Hi, Chuck.
The Colonel be fine.
Whatever.
How are you today, Brandy?
I'm well. I'm well. This is History Dweebs, and Tim is actually here.
Hi.
Yeah, he's here, but he is wanting to try something different. He has no faith in our ability to carry off, podcast.
I'm just trying to
pull this off at all, so we're trying something a little bit different today.
Apparently, the stress is getting to Timmy.
Tim is
all this research and all this. Tim wants to be the producer of his show, and he's going to stay on the show, but
he doesn't want to talk.
He doesn't want to talk. It's like Jay and Silent Bob, but we got Silent Timmy.
Well, and that's fine that he doesn't want to talk. He can just sit there while we, you know, he can just sit there and take it.
Which is amazing, because most of the time we can't get him to shut the fuck up.
I can sit here.
I can sext. Which is a
still
reminder
gross.
To our listeners that this is a show that you hear some language and some terms, especially coming out of this lady over here.
Which is why there's a little E on the...
There's an E on there. So if you got kids listening, you might want to...
Not.
You might want to... Well, fuck them. They're just going to watch, see it on TV anyway. What are you
learning
about?
Learn it on the bus like the rest of us did.
Yeah, if you got kids, take the damn headphones off. What are you doing? Watch your kids, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
And I got to, before we start the show, I was very, I did a horrible thing last show.
I'm shocked.
I did not give a shout out to my 3-year-old nephew, Jack.
Does Jack listen?
He does. He listens to the Colonel's voice every now and again.
He should be outside.
Well, he is outside, but Dominique, his mom, will put on the thing and say, "This is Uncle Chuck here talking," and he likes to hear me.
But you sound like Foghorn Leghorn.
Yeah, he likes the voice, and I got to say hi to Fish.
Right.
My little nephew, I got him I was going to give him a betta fish, you know, one of those just little glass bowls.
Yes, I know
bowls.
What a betta fish is.
And you know how you can get them, like, in the goldfish bowls? But then I got to the pet store, and I thought, no, this is Jack. I can't get him a little bowl. So I bought him an aquarium. I bought him the filter. I bought him the heater. I bought him the...
All the stuff.
Stuff that goes in it. So Dominique has two rules. Don't spend more than $25 on a kid. I think I dropped about $105 because I bought the water conditioner,
sure,
the grab. It was a turnkey aquarium thing.
Sure.
And nothing with a pulse. Don't be bringing anything with a pulse into my house.
So you got fish.
So I told her.
You broke both rules. She asked for nothing and you broke both
as
rules.
As I start so many sentences with, motherfucker, I'm 53 years old.
Yes.
If I want to buy my nephew a fish, I will buy him a goddamn fish.
I see.
And do you know that boy is fascinated with that fish?
Well,
he
sure
calls him Fish. He feeds him. He knows how to feed him 3 times a day. He's an amazing little boy, that Jack is.
You feed your fish 3 times a day?
They give him one little pellet 3 times a day.
I was going to say, I got a betta. I feed him once a day.
3 times a day, gets a little pellet of food. Jack likes to make sure. Jack f- feeds him on his schedule. When it's lunchtime for Jack, it's lunchtime for Fish.
Sure. Well, so I'm going to go through, and we'd like to thank our Patreon sponsors, because without you, we would still be doing this, but we would be doing it with different equipment. And I apologize because Timmy writes like a serial killer, and I'm looking at this handwritten list.
Timmy, he writes like a doctor with Parkinson's.
And there is somewhere a list that is on an Excel spreadsheet.
I created one for him. I don't know that he even knows how to open Excel. Yeah,
I do not have that list. So if you'll bear with me, we want to thank Alicia and Chip. Is it Daniel Bassett?
Bassett.
Oh, that's an... Okay, those are T's. Christ. Jen Moyer, Tommy Lane, Jason Dykes, Bridget Clavey, Brandy McBride, Maggie Glover, Amber Krupp, the Now American History Podcast with Joe, Rebecca Oslinger, Karen Alden, Cheryl Pierce, TJ Young, Catherine Cock Garage Richards, Fiona...
I love that one.
Fiona Crisp, Laura O'Reilly, Kristen... Is it Bourgeois? Donna Curran, Maja, Aaron with an A, Kimberly Cameron, Cheryl Weldon, Christine. Oh, these are so bad. Heather Poole.
Did you write this shit blindfolded? What was you doing here?
What is that?
I got not the slightest fucking idea what that... What is this right here, Timmy? What is that?
Sorry, Stacey. Timmy.
Oh, Stacey, of course.
Of course it's Stacey.
Yeah, Stacey.
Not even close. Heather Poole, Charlie and Allie from the Insight Podcast. The people over at They Walk Among Us. Jennifer Siemens, Cindy, Elise, Bridget Bernhard, Sarah Bloom. The people at History Goes Bump. Amber Trevino, Annette Petre, Lise, Leslie Hagar, Amber Scoville. Jahara, Jeff and Dawn, Andrew Happ, Karen Barnes, Rachel Flynn, Holly Woodward, Shirley Strapp, Todd Long, Lydia Fish, Jennifer...
Lydia what? Fisher.
Lydia Fisher.
Oh, there's an R on the end of that. Well, no,
that's Timmy's shorthand. I'll get you... Devil, I'll have you a spreadsheet time. So
Jennifer, Tyrone, Phyllis Munson, Sarah Morgan, Melissa Montoya, Brittany... Martin and Mandy Swanson. So thank you very much for contributing. If you would like to contribute to our Patreon.
I believe we're leaving off a Patreon sponsor.
Oh, Rudy the Wonder Dog. Sure. Okay. Stupid dog has no job and gives $1 a month. Whatever. But if you would like to give to our...
Now we're belittling our Patreon sponsor.
If you would like to give to Patreon... To the show, you know. And continue to get this quality programming. Tim, where can they go?
Patreon.com/historydweebs.
And you can give a little, you can give a lot, or...
Just a wee tiny bit.
Just a wee tiny bit. Perfect. So, is there anything that you want to add before we get started on Dr. Kevorkian in here?
Well,
That was my mistake. I don't care.
Here's what I'm not really sure, because Kevorkian does not sound like an Asian name.
I don't understand what.
Well, if we're studying euthanasia, what is a Dr. Kevorkian got to do with it?
You are fucking ridiculous. Not euthanasia, you jackass. Euthanasia, like.
Euthanasia. The teenagers in Asia.
You know what they do, like when dogs go down, when you put a dog to sleep? It's euthanasia.
They go across the Rainbow Bridge.
They do cross the Rainbow Bridge. And you know how they get there? Euthanasia.
Got these young people. So if a dog's
going to die. They come over and kill dogs. No.
These people from China, these teenagers from China are coming over and killing my dog?
Yes, that's what happens. And now we're going to talk about.
Not happy.
Well, now we're going to talk about a different kind of euthanasia. Besides the ones that come and kill your dogs. So, here, Timmy even spells it all out for us. God love Timmy and these quality scripts. Euthanasia is the practice of intentionally ending a life in order to relieve pain and suffering. It comes from the Greek word meaning good death. Good death to you,
good
sir.
Good death. I say good death.
I say good death. In some countries, there is including this one, there is a divisive public controversy over the moral, ethical, and legal issues of euthanasia. Those who are against it may argue for the sanctity of life, while proponents of it emphasize alleviating suffering and preserving bodily integrity, self-determination, and personal autonomy. Jurisdictions where euthanasia is legal include the Netherlands, Canada, Colombia, Belgium, and Luxembourg. So, Timmy, you're going to make trips to a couple of those places soon.
Yeah, just saying.
Yeah. Maybe when I go to Colombia.
Claire will be able to kill you.
Yes.
Well, that'll be fun. Efforts to legalize physician-assisted suicide in the United States have been slow. The first attempt to legalize euthanasia took place in the United States when Henry Hunt introduced legislation into the General Assembly of Ohio in 1906. Because, you know, Ohio is always on the forefront of all major civil rights, you know, actions. Hunt did so at the behest of Anna Hall, a wealthy heiress who was a major figure in the euthanasia movement during the early 20th century in the United States. Hall had watched her mother die after an extended battle with liver cancer and had dedicated herself to ensuring that others would not have to endure the same suffering. Hunt's bill called for the administration of an anesthetic to bring about a patient's death, so long as the person is of lawful age and sound mind and was suffering from a fatal injury, an irrevocable illness, or great physical pain.
Now, see, this is where we miss Timmy. With irrevocable.
Right, he'd have fucked that up. But that's okay, I did it.
I was having trouble with it, just fucking with Timmy.
The struggle's real.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Timmy, you're going to have to dumb these scripts down a little bit for us now.
Well.
Because we, you know, when you got it on that first page, these big words that you have mastered so well. Mm-hmm. We are
with the King's English.
With the King's, because you speak the King's English. We are mere, you know, colonels. Okay. We're not royal subjects like.
Well, both of you are not colonels.
You people in Chillicothe or Portsmouth,
evidently,
or wherever
I'm the Khaleesi
of
podcasting.
You are the Khaleesi of podcasting.
So suck
you
it.
You got those dragons, right?
You're goddamn right, I do. All right. It is also required that the case be heard by a physician. Required informed consent in front of three witnesses, and required the attendance of three physicians who had to agree that the patient's recovery was impossible. A motion to reject the bill outright was turned down, but the bill failed to pass 79-23. Shocking. Efforts to legalize doctor-assisted suicide in the United States continued through the 20th century and continues today. The words euthanasia and assisted suicide are often used interchangeably. However, they are different, and in the law, they are treated differently. In this report, euthanasia is defined as intentionally knowing and directing the act of causing the death of another person. For example, giving a lethal injection. Assisted suicide is defined as intentionally, knowingly, and directly providing the means of death to another person so that the person can use that means to commit suicide. For example, providing a prescription for a lethal dose of drugs. Currently, yeah, but couldn't that be said for, like, if you sold somebody a gun? Don't you think?
I think that, and this is a true story. Now, my brother had the Lou Gehrig's disease.
I do, and he is dead.
And he said to me, I want to make sure that when this gets to a certain point, that you will take my Browning high power, and you will chamber around because my hands will be too weak, and then you will lay it by my bedside. And I was like, well, I can't do that. I'll smother you with a pillow.
What's sweet?
Well, because it'd make a mess.
Right.
The mess and his
Nobody
wife and had to
that.
Deal with all
right,
that.
Right, right, right.
And personally, I would not have enjoyed it, but I would probably, had he asked me and said, you know, I really need you to do this, I would have probably smothered him with a pillow if he would have wanted me to.
Currently, physician-assisted death or aid in dying is legal in six states: Oregon, Washington, Vermont, California, Montana, Colorado, and Washington, D.C., not Ohio. Legislation is pending in six other states. I'm sure none of them are Ohio either.
No, it's not. Ohio is not included.
One of the most famous advocates for physician-assisted suicide was Dr. Jack Kevorkian. Dr. Kevorkian was a U.S.-based physician who assisted in patient suicide, sparking increased talk on hospice care and right to die legislative action. He was born in Pontiac, Michigan on May 26, 1928. He became a pathologist who assisted people suffering from acute medical conditions in ending their lives. After years of conflict with the court system over the legality of his actions, he spent 8 years in prison after a 1999 conviction. Kevorkian's actions spurred national debate on the ethics of euthanasia and hospice care, and he died in Royal Oak, Michigan, all on his own, on June 3rd, 2011.
So that's the story? I mean, that's the...
Yeah, and so that is it, that and is we it? Are done.
Okay. Well, that seemed like a...
Well, let's talk about Timmy.
I guess Timmy gave us a simple one to do.
That's
I
mean, the introduction, you dumbass.
How the fuck you that's like saying the introduction. I'll tell you one goddamn thing. When me and the devil are doing scripts, we ain't going to tell a synopsis of the story and then fill in the details.
Oh, there'll be no synopsis.
No, there will be no synopsis. There will be no backtracking. There will be no... Timmy, how are you gonna refrain yourself while you sit there?
From he's sexting. He's not even paying any attention.
Yeah, who are you sexting with? Listen to him. It's like talking to Logan
I'm
at dinner time.
Attention.
You know what? You've turned basically turned into the devil playing Candy Crush.
No, yeah. I'm That's sitting here waiting for you. I'm sitting here waiting for the story to start. You did the introduction.
So again, Jack Kevorkian was born. And actually, his name was Murad Kevorkian. Aw.
I think I would change that myself.
Yeah, so he changed it. But he was born on May 26, 1928. He's got a birthday coming up in Pontiac, Michigan. The second of three children born to Armenian immigrants, Levon and Sitinging Kevorkian. Kevorkian's parents were refugees who escaped the Armenian massacres that occurred shortly after World War I. They can't come in anymore. Fuck them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a travel ban on Armenians. Excuse me.
Travel ban on everybody. Fuck them.
There's a travel ban on me. I can't even go to Kentucky no more.
Well, no, yeah, that's like that. The state's banned you. That's a, yeah, there's, well, that's different.
There's a difference, yeah.
Levon was smuggled out of Turkey by missionaries in 1912. And made his way to, of all places, Pontiac, Michigan, where he worked at an automobile foundry. His mother, I'm going to call her Sati, fled the Armenian death march, finding refuge with relatives in Paris and eventually reuniting with her brother in Pontiac. Levon and Sati met through the Armenian community in their city where they married and began their family. The couples welcomed a daughter, Margaret, in 1926, followed by son Murad, who later earned the nickname Jack by American friends and teachers because Murad was a dumb name. And finally, they had a third child named Flora. After Levon lost his job at the foundry in the early 1930s, he began to make a sizable living as the owner of his own excavating company, a difficult feat in Depression-era America. While other families suffered financially, the Kevorkians began living a more comfortable life in a multicultural suburb in Pontiac. What is bucolic?
Bucolic is kind of like peaceful and pretty.
Why can't he just say that? Why is he got to put
bucolic? Well, you know, Shakespeare over here, he can't just do the simple words. Yeah, he's painting a picture. He's painting a picture.
I know, Bob Ross painting a picture. Right. So they were strict and religious parents who worked hard to make sure their children were obedient Christians. Jack, however, had trouble reconciling what he believed were conflicting religious ideas. His family regularly attended church, and Jack often railed against the idea of miracles and an all-knowing God in his weekly Sunday school classes. So you know the Sunday school teacher just cussed to herself every time he walked in.
Yeah.
This little son of a bitch is here
it
again,
ain't worth
damn
the 25 cents, this little bastard puss in offering.
You know that's right.
Yeah.
If there was a God who could make his son walk on water, Kevorkian insisted, he would also have been able to prevent the Turkish slaughter of his entire extended family.
That makes a lot of sense to me.
And you know what? Kids should ask those questions.
What are important questions to ask?
Jack debated the idea of God's very existence every week until he realized he would not find an acceptable explanation to his questions, and he quit going to church entirely by the age of 12.
Actually, and just to enlighten both of you, that is what's called absurdism. And it's a philosophical view, point of view, that man will never understand, or to try to seek the meaning of life, we're not capable of understanding the meaning of life, so it's absurd to just keep looking for it. So you do one of two things. You do one of three things, actually. You kill yourself, you find religion, which gives your life meaning. Or if you don't find religion, you accept that
we are incapable of...
Yeah, you wander aimlessly. And I've decided on the third path that...
You're a wanderer.
I'm incapable of understanding even really basic algebra.
I agree.
So to understand a higher power creator, I'm not going to take that on.
No. That's awesome. Awesome and very enlightening.
Are you still with us over
there? There's hand gestures going on the other side of the table. I don't understand.
Who's sending you some messages?
No one. I'm promoting our show on Twitter.
That's acceptable.
Okay. But if you get some good sex in there, you going to tell us about them?
Please don't.
I will if I do, but right now I'm just...
Don't.
You taking a day off from your online porn and thing?
I am marketing our show.
Taking a day off from his penis.
You giving your penis a break?
The children were also encouraged to perform well in school, and all three demonstrated high academic intelligence. As the only boy, however, Jack became the focus of his parents' high expectations. Jack rose to the occasion easily, even as a young boy. Kevorkian was a voracious reader and academic who loved the arts, including drawing, painting, and piano. But along with Jack's academic prowess came a highly critical mind, and he rarely accepted ideas at face value. Good for him.
Voracious.
Voracious.
He was a ferocious and voracious little man.
He was. He engaged in frequent arguments with his teachers at school, sometimes humiliating them when they couldn't keep up with his sharp debate skills.
That's a bad idea.
To debate Jack Kevorkian or to debate the teachers?
To humiliate your teachers.
Yeah, they
no good comes no from good humiliating comes from your teachers.
Sweet Christ.
Sweet Jesus. What, you blinded me? Hold on. Let me find my way back around here,
right.
Devil. Where am I at here?
There's a reason that the lights are off.
Yeah.
While his jabs at teachers earned admirations from his classmates, learning came so effortlessly. It just wouldn't roll off to Jack that it often alienated him from his peers. Kevorkian was promoted to Eastern Junior High when he was in the sixth grade, and by the time he was in high school, he taught himself German and Japanese. Classmates soon labeled him as an eccentric bookworm. Yeah, whatever. And Kevorkian had trouble making friends as a result.
Did he think he was turning Japanese?
I don't know. That's probably
turning
the only
Japanese.
Probably the only strange
I
he was
really
getting.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think I'll turn in Japanese. I really think so. Remember that song?
I do. He also gave up the idea of romantic relationships, believing them to be an unnecessary diversion from his studies. He's Sheldon.
Yeah.
He's Sheldon Cooper. Mm-hmm. In 1945, when Kevorkian was only 17, he graduated with honors from Pontiac High School. I can't imagine that the bar was set real high at Pontiac High School. But okay. Accepted then into the University of Michigan College of Engineering, Kevorkian had aims to become a civil engineer. Halfway through his freshman year, however, he became bored with his studies and began focusing on botany and biology. By mid-year, he'd set his sights on medical school, often taking 20 credit hours in a semester in order to meet the 90-hour medical school requirement. He graduated in medicine at the University of Michigan in 1952. And began a specialty in pathology soon after.
On the next episode, now I know we're trying something different. So how about we try something different on the next episode?
What's that?
How about you not take the Percocet before we start the episode?
How about you not worry about it? I'm drinking my special juice. My nerves are calm. I'm just doing my thing, man. All right.
I'm just saying you're slurring just a little bit. It's like, I don't, if you was pulled over right now, they'd have you out breathalyzed.
You don't worry about me being pulled over right now. I got new tires on my car.
You do got new tires.
I got new tires on my motherfucking car.
You bought four new tires for that son of a bitch, didn't you?
Oh, I didn't buy four new tires. Let me tell you something. I didn't buy four new tires for that motherfucking car. I took it home, and I told my husband, I'll go to Costco. I'll buy myself a new tire. It'll be fine. Well, you can't buy just one new tire. The fuck you can't. That's why they sell them in singles. They don't come wrapped up like donuts and
shit.
You can't
buy a single tire.
Yeah, you can't buy a single tire. you have to buy two or you have to buy four. I'm like, that's the most fucked up thing ever. So, yeah. So, my birthday present is four new tires for my car.
Ooh.
Which I appreciate. On. Nothing says sexy time.
How many miles do you have on that car?
49,000.
So, you actually just needed a tire.
Uh-huh.
Those tires were in good shape.
Nothing says I want sex and sexy time. Yeah. Like, hey, baby, I got you four new tires.
Baby, I got you four new tires.
That's right. And I appreciate it because I'm sure whatever. They would have needed them eventually.
But, well, you know, if you go home and treat him right, he's liable to get you an oil change.
No, stop. I got free oil changes.
Oh.
So he might.
Yeah, he might. Yeah. He'll take it up there for you.
I don't know. I kind of want a new coffee maker. So. I know, right?
Yeah, you better.
Just putting that shit out there.
Well, you have to work for a coffee maker. You want one of those Keurig things or you want one of the... No, I don't like the Keurig ones.
I do like the Keurig ones.
I don't. They don't get hot enough for me.
Well, you know, you can set them to get hotter, I think. No. A lot of them. Yeah, some of them you can.
And now the new ones, the cocksuckers, here's where they fucking get you. Here's where the some bitches. These motherfuckers, you buy the Keurig 2 now, they got a little chip in them, and you can only use the Keurig cups. You can't use the bootleg cups that I always used in the past.
You know, what bootleg cups are you getting?
You know, any kind. You know how you could just buy any brand of cup?
Yeah.
With the Keurig 2? You got to buy Keurig coffee.
No, that's fucked up.
It is. You know, I was making my own cups in my basement. It was like a little meth lab down there. Because I don't drink coffee.
So why were you making cups of coffee in the basement?
I was making tea. I like tea. I like a cup of tea in the morning. That's all.
I see.
I'm a sophisticated man.
Spot of tea.
I like a spot of tea. I like a... I have a cuppa.
Yeah.
As Ali would say, a cuppa. And
I want to like hot tea because I watch a lot of British television and evidently that solves all problems. And so I want to like hot tea.
Go to Kroger.
I've got some vanilla chai tea. I just haven't tried it yet.
Yeah, the problem with vanilla chai tea is I got to drink decaffeinated tea.
Well, that's not my problem. I don't have to.
But if you go to Kroger and you can handle your caffeine.
I can.
I can't handle my caffeine.
I can.
You see me on caffeine.
I have.
But there's so many flavors of it.
I know. So I got vanilla, but I haven't tried it yet.
Oh, I got this orange flavor. It's like drinking orange Kool-Aid.
No, I'm out. Do you know that McDonald's is getting rid of orange Hi-C? Did you hear that? I know. What kind of bullshit is that?
Remember when they had the pizza?
No, but I don't care. My kid drinks nothing else but the orange Hi-C. He doesn't drink pop. He doesn't drink regular milk. Like, orange Hi-C, that's his life. Dicks.
They are dicks there.
They are dicks there. I don't like that. McDonald's, bring back the orange Hi-C. Fuckers. So anyway, maybe I will get a thing from my birthday. I need the coffee maker. You guys are asshats because I can't see that. And I don't have my glasses on, fuckers. All right. So he graduated medicine at the University of Michigan in 1952, went to pathology. Okay, in 1953, however, the Korean War abruptly halted Kevorkian's career. He spent 18 months as an Army medical officer in Korea, then finished his service in Colorado. While serving his residency at the University of Michigan Hospital in the 1950s, Kevorkian became fascinated by death and the act of dying. He made regular visits to terminally ill patients, photographing their eyes in an attempt to pinpoint the exact moment of death. God, that's creepy. If you all could pay attention.
No, I saw he had a documentary on HBO, and he was talking about that. And apparently he was saying, you know, they were trying, all these pathologists were trying to determine time of death or whatever on these patients.
Yeah.
And he said, you can just look at the eyes. He had some method where he could just look at the eyes.
Now, I don't believe he had a method. I believe in his head he had a method.
Well, I'm just saying what he claimed.
Yeah.
He claimed that he could tell. But he became fascinated with dead bodies.
So Kevorkian,
who isn't, really?
Yeah, Kevorkian believed that doctors could use the information to distinguish death from fainting, shock, or coma. Well, I think that they should be able to distinguish that. Seems like something a doctor should be able to do. In order to learn when resuscitation was useless. But really, and this makes him so much less creepy, but really my number one reason was because it was interesting, he told reporters later, and my second reason was because it was a taboo subject. So he's just a dickwad.
Well, and we had lunch with Dr. Jeff, and he kind of threw out an interesting theory, and you're kind of reinforcing it. But I believe that this was getting him to spank his monkey. Killing people was getting him sexually excited.
You think?
Yeah, why else would you do it?
I don't know.
Ain't nobody cares about people like, oh, here's a, you know what, I want to end pain and suffering, so I'm going to kill a bunch of people. That's bullshit.
That wasn't Bundy's.
And then when he said he just liked to look into their eye, you know he was kind of rubbing up against them. You know, with his groin, doing a little pelvic thrust there.
Not one to avoid distasteful ideas, shockingly.
There you go.
Kevorkian again caused a stir with colleagues by proposing that death row prison inmates be used as the subjects of medical experiments while they were still alive. What, well, it, the, doesn't that ring of, you know,
yeah.
Mangala?
Well, slightly. And especially, you know, do you have any twins?
Right, right. Inspired by research that described medical experiments the ancient Greeks conducted on Egyptian criminals, Kevorkian formulated the idea that similar modern experiments could not only save valuable research dollars, but also provide a glimpse into the anatomy of the criminal mind. In 1958, he advocated his view in a paper presented to the American Association for the Advancement of Science. In a method he called terminal human experimentation, God, can you imagine this guy at parties?
Yeah.
I don't think he got invited.
Everybody just kind of moved away from him. Yeah. I think he crashed. But you know parties.
What? He would be the some bitch sitting right next to the bean dip.
Oh, all the time. So or the beer. The keg.
So you'd have to go over and
he's next to the keg.
He's next to. See, I don't care about that. But let me get. And for you poor bastards that don't know what it is. There's this thing we have in Cincinnati called Skyline Chili. And there's this thing you take to parties and it's called Skyline Dip. You've made it yourself, I'm sure.
I have, several times.
And it's chili with a layer of cream cheese.
It sounds disgusting, but it's
so
good.
And then a layer of melted cheddar cheese on the top.
Cheese, chili, and then melted cheddar cheese on top. Cream cheese, chili, and cheddar cheese on top. And it's the shit.
It'll make you beat somebody down. If there's only like a bite or two left, you'll beat them down for that. But he'd be the guy hanging around the Skyline Dip.
Eating it all.
Double dipping a chip.
You know, no double dipping a chip, nasty fucker, just to see how close to death he could get. Yeah. All right. So in a method he called... He argued that condemned convicts... would be a service to humanity before their execution by volunteering for painless, in little quotes, medical experiments that would begin while they were conscious but would end in fatality. Oh, good. For his unorthodox experiments and strange proposals, Kevorkian's peers gave him the nickname Dr. Death. Surprising.
Oh, yeah, that's surprising. Yeah, have you ever thought about... Skippy.
Does it?
Have you ever thought about this, Timmy? If you were really, and I've given this some consideration, but the electric chair we decided was inhumane for, you know, most cases. So we did lethal injection to be nicer to these people that we were going to kill. But you know what the problem is with the electric chair, Timmy?
No, what?
They electrocute you from the outside. Now think about this. What if they electrocuted you from the inside? If they took, like, say, a 2-foot rod or whatnot, okay, and they inserted it into the convict's rectal cavity.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
And then just let loose with about 20,000 volts. That would work much faster.
It'd smell like ass.
Well, apparently it smells pretty bad to begin with.
What? It smells like cooking flesh.
Yeah, and that's not too bad. You ever come in here like, and people have burned something, and you think, "Ooh, it smells like somebody caught somebody on fire in here. It smells like burning flesh in here."
No, but you know what? Sometimes they'll microwave fish downstairs.
Oh, who does that?
I can't.
That's
tell
just
you.
Gauche.
It is gauche, but it's very nasty. And then other times, the brewery up the street makes the whole place stink to high heaven. But that's not important, and none of it smells like a burning body. All right.
I'm just saying, cook them from the inside, not the outside.
Okay. Kevorkian's controversial views earned him minor media attention, which ultimately resulted in his ejection from the University of Michigan Medical Center. He continued his partnerships at Pontiac.
Ejection?
Ejection.
Would that be like expulsion? Or was he sitting in class and just a big spring came up and
he got tossed out? Looks like he was a doctor by then. He just couldn't go there anymore.
I mean, ejected sounds to me
like he popped out of an airplane.
Like Wile E. Coyote. It happened to him. All of a sudden he was.
He continued his internship at Pontiac General Hospital because their standards clearly are low. And he began another set of controversial experiments. After hearing about a Russian medical team who was transfusing blood from corpses into living patients, Kevorkian enlisted the help of medical technologist Neil Nickel to simulate these same experiments. I thought all the blood was drained after that. Like, it doesn't it coagulate?
I think you
got to
get them pretty quick.
I don't know. You know, I don't know. The results were highly successful, and Kevorkian believed the procedure could help save lives on the battlefield. If blood from a bank was unavailable, doctors might use Kevorkian's research to transfuse the blood of a corpse into an injured soldier. Kevorkian pitched his idea to the Pentagon, figuring it could be used in Vietnam, in NAM. But the doctor was denied a federal grant to continue his research.
You know, it was NAM. That wasn't really rules.
Well, I know, right? Instead, the research fueled his reputation as an outsider, scared his colleagues, and eventually infected Kevorkian with Hep C.
That's what he says.
Yeah,
I think he got it from a hooker.
He got it from one of.
How'd you like to go have
you
your
know
gallbladder
he got it from
out?
One of those corpse.
And you're getting examined, and somebody walks by, and they're like, "Hey, Dr. Death, how you doing?"
Yeah, I don't or be dating that guy.
Did he ever even date anybody?
No, I don't know if he ever did, but.
No, you know why?
No romantic entanglement.
Because he was back there choking the monk, beating a bishop, thinking about, I'm going to kill somebody today.
Is that what you sound like?
That's what he sounded like. He was Mr. Burns on The Simpsons. That's who he reminds me of.
Yeah.
Mr. Burns, he doesn't remind you of him?
After qualifying as a specialist in 1960, specialist in what?
Yeah, death.
Right. Kevorkian bounced around the country from hospital to hospital, publishing more than 30 professional journal articles and booklets about his philosophy on death before setting up his own clinic near Detroit, Michigan.
The death clinic?
The business ultimately failed.
Death is us?
Shocking. Right. Death becomes you.
You know, it's like hairstyle places. I just wonder how in the hell they always come up with these fascinating names.
Curl up and die.
Yeah.
I love
just
that.
Stuff like that. Yeah. And if you had a death shop, you know, you'd be competing.
You would.
With other, and it'd be hard to come up with a good marketing plan for putting people to sleep.
A good pun for the name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The sleep easy.
Yeah.
The sleep easy.
Kevorkian. After the business failed, Kevorkian headed to California to commute between two part-time pathology jobs in Long Beach. Those jobs also ended quickly when Kevorkian quit in another dispute with a chief pathologist.
I have a feeling he was kind of hard to get along with.
Yeah.
A chief pathologist?
Chief.
Like the son bitch wouldn't pay for lunch ever?
No, chief.
Okay. Like a cheap podcaster.
Yes.
Oh, someone who doesn't pay for lunch ever.
Yeah. Like one of those guys.
He gave me $10 today. I can't say much.
I was feeling guilty because I came in yesterday and I was sitting in my office and I was like, damn, because I'm on the low carb thing. And,
of course.
And I was. Oh, Brandy's got those power bars. And I come down here and I grab a power bar and I'm like, damn, there's 6 power bars in a box. And I believe I've eaten 5 of these power bars in this box.
Goodness. Okay.
So being the gentleman, really the honorable man that I am.
You should have just ate the last one and told her someone stole one.
that would have been.
Fucker.
Because I'm still collecting undue hatred from our listeners and from other people about the Pop-Tarts, which I was completely innocent of.
And he wants
of.
To continue to eat the protein bars. Let's not.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to keep. Yeah. Yeah. That's for future protein bars, too.
He was afraid
too.
You'd put a lock them away.
Yeah.
No, I just figured, you know, if I've eaten maybe $5
you
or
think
what.
You
how much did
enough?
That whole thing cost
you?
Oh,
I have no idea. Dave bought it.
Oh, okay. Because I know they're. They're about $1 a piece.
Yeah, they're not cheap.
In the store. They're not cheap at all.
Did he buy them at the same place he bought your tires?
No. No, surprisingly. No. Jesus. All right. So Jack claimed that his career was doomed by physicians who feared his radical ideas. Well, that's kind of how I feel.
Nobody wants to be put to death.
Kevorkian retired, in air quotes, to devote his time to a film project about Handel's Messiah, as well as research for his reinvigorated death row campaign. By 1970, however, Kevorkian was still jobless, had also lost his fiance. He broke off the relationship after finding that his bride-to-be lacked in self-discipline.
Oh, I bet he caught him masturbating.
I don't know. Doesn't say, but that's what happened. So he did have some romantic entanglements, and somebody did say, yeah, I'm going to marry Dr. Death. We're very excited. Yeah. We're going to have kids. It's going to be great.
Little Johnny Death over here.
Exactly. He's going to be super.
they had the Sex Pistols. So let's see where we're at here, Timmy. By 1982, I was graduating from high school.
I was in second grade.
Wow, you was a youngster then.
I'm a youngster now.
But I bet you was still, well, you're always going to be. See, the way math works in aging.
You're not going to explain that to me. I said compared
if
to
I'm
you.
If I'm older than you, if I'm born before you, I'm always actually going to be older than you.
I know, which makes me happy. Which means you'll probably die before me.
Well, it depends on if somebody covers my face with a pillow while I'm sleeping. No. Which, by the way, for the fourth time, I just want to put this on record.
Not for the fourth time.
For the fourth time in 30 days, whilst I've been sleeping, Renee has hit me in the face.
I don't know why she waits till
30 years of marriage, the girl ain't ever hit me in the face. All of a sudden, every night she goes to sleep, she becomes Mike Tyson and got to hit me in the side of the head.
I don't know why she waits till you're asleep.
She says she's having nightmares.
I think she's lying.
I think she's lying, too, and it hurts. The shit hurts. So, all right here, Timmy. Now, we're moving up to 1982. And now, during this podcast here, Timmy, we're not disturbing you, are we? You sure?
Positive.
Because it doesn't seem like...
It doesn't seem like you're very engaged.
I am engaged. You're not engaged. I'm watching the sound levels. And
How the fuck are you watching the sound levels? You're looking at your phone.
You're like a teenage girl.
Yeah.
I'm engaging our audience online and social media. So yes.
Are you like, it's like passing notes in study hall.
Actually.
I'm working. Please continue.
What are you working on?
I was tweeting the picture of you guys. And
an unapproved picture, I might add.
I did not see a release.
I didn't approve anything.
You can't
just
merch us out like that, Timmy.
I feel dirty.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the thing that all we are is basically chattel to him.
Yes. And you know what you do well or what you should be doing right now is reading.
You know, I was unprepared. I mean, I'm here. I'm sitting here with my hair all, you know, no makeup on, no nothing. I was not prepared. I need time for my face, my hair, my makeup people to come in.
He should give you a heads up.
Something.
I don't even know that I trimmed my beard today.
You didn't.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get back to Dr. Jack.
That would be wonderful.
Now, in 1982, he was living alone.
Right.
Occasionally sleeping in his car.
Why?
I don't know. He was a doctor, but this son of a bitch couldn't get a job anywhere because when you got the name Dr.
Vega. He's a weirdo.
He had a Vega.
Hey, well, then that's why he was sleeping in.
Yeah, that ain't too comfortable to sleep in either.
A Vega.
He was living off canned food and Social Security.
Cat food?
Yeah.
Oh,
I don't know, Timmy. You didn't
put
it in here.
Canned food.
Okay,
canned.
Well, cat food comes in a can.
Don't all of us live on canned food?
Yeah.
I don't know how you live your life.
Well, I live my life because I can actually cook and I make food, whereas you just stop at, you know, Wendy's or Subway.
Domino's.
Hey, I don't like Wendy's anymore, man.
Oh, we stopped
Wendy's.
Oh,
you're anti-Wendy's now.
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, okay, Subway.
Since Dave died.
Okay, so you just stop at Subway. Or sometimes Domino's.
B-dubs.
You know, Wendy B-dubs. Does not look like the girl on the picture.
Maybe she did when she was a kid.
That I didn't see her when she was a kid.
Well, sure you have. It's the Wendy's girl.
Well, maybe that's
you're looking at a picture of her all the time.
Well, I don't know that she looked like that as a kid, though. I mean, I think that they just made up.
You want them to put up a side-by-side comparison?
Well, I want to see what the real Wendy looked like, because she turned out to be not a bad-looking woman.
Yeah, but she's got red hair. I mean, she's got red hair and a little bit of freckles. So, I mean, I imagine it's about the same. And I think that they've caricatured that up a little bit.
That's what I mean. Yeah, I think they're kind of.
I don't think her pigtail stuck out like that very much.
That's a badass hairdo, I think.
Well,
I might try it myself.
Her Pippi Longstocking hair.
I was thinking about getting myself some cornrows.
You should absolutely give yourself some cornrows.
I like it.
With beads.
I think when we get to India, I'm going to be in cornrows.
You absolutely should.
I'm going to get you a big silver necklace with a big clock on it.
Yeah, well, I already got one.
Oh, he's going to be Flava Flav.
Just like Flava Flav.
Get you.
I got me some gold teeth.
You're going to need some good hair for that. Yeah. You're going to have to buy you some hair.
You're going to have hair, period.
Well, he's got to have to buy some hair. We can get that sewn in.
I can get some weaves.
You can get that sewn in.
Is my hair too short for weaves?
I have no clue.
Okay. Well, I'm going to look into that next time I go to my Great Clips.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Supercuts.
Next will, time you go to Curl Up and Die.
Yeah.
Curl Up and Die,
they
yeah.
will love answering that question. Could you put some tracks in my hair? They'll love that.
I want some cornrows. I'm going to be going to, I'm joining a gang.
I'm going to Indianapolis.
Can I get
cornrows?
I'm going to Indianapolis. Yeah, I need cornrows. Well, by 1985, he had returned to Michigan to write a comprehensive history of experiments on executed humans, which was published in the obscure journal of the National Medical Association.
Doesn't sound obscure.
Prestigious journals rejected it. Timmy, how many times you've been published with these scripts? How many scripts you have published here?
I refuse to release my art.
That means zero.
Oh, okay. So
he doesn't want it corrupted.
Yeah. That's it's basically literature.
I actually do keep all of my scripts.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
For the Hall of Fame? What? Are you going to use them as an acceptance speech for your potty?
Maybe, you don't know. Maybe I'll put them on eBay.
I know a little bit. You should sign them for sure.
Well, you got to sign them.
Well, yeah, I would.
Well, in 1986, Kevorkian discovered a way to help expand his death row proposal when he learned that doctors in the Netherlands were helping people die by lethal injection.
I mean, you just walk down the street. You come in for a flu yeah. and they say, oh, they'll put
oh,
you
no,
under.
Here, we take this shot right here. So his new crusade for assisted suicide or euthanasia became an extension of his campaign for medical experiments on the dying.
Sinus infection? Do you want Sudafed or do you want me to put you under?
Sodium pentothal.
At what point does somebody decide you're dying? That's my concern. I got no problem with euthanasia, but you know what? You get some old lady that got a case of the shingles. Ain't no, you don't put it down for that. Now, she might look bad, but then again...
Hell, you look bad, and you're still...
Yeah, I look bad. Ain't nobody... they be putting me down all the time.
Like a dog.
Like a dog. Now, Kevorkian began to write new articles.
And let's establish, they'd only put you down once, not all the time.
No, I got nine lives. I'm like a cat.
No, you know.
Kevorkian began writing new articles, this time about the benefits of the euthanasia. And he followed up on his papers with the creation of a suicide machine he called... The Thanatron.
Nice.
Thanatron.
There you go.
Greek for instrument of death. Well, fuck, he made that out of $45 worth of materials.
Again, couldn't you just get
Give me one hammer, one long ass 4-inch nail.
You're going to MacGyver something together?
Yeah. I only got 10 bucks into this. I got instrument of death. Now, the Thanatron consisted of three bottles that delivered successive doses of fluids. First, a saline solution. Followed by a painkiller.
Why saline first?
You know, that don't make a bit of sense.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to make sure they're completely hydrated before they die.
Or maybe you want to make, I don't know, maybe that clears the vein for the other stuff to go in.
Oh, that could be. Clears out the little highway there.
Yeah.
Followed by a painkiller. And finally,
fatal
dose.
So far, so good.
Of potassium chloride.
Yeah, you can hold on to that. Hold a potassium chloride.
I'm good.
Just the first two steps.
I'm just going to eat a couple bananas, and I'll get all the potassium I need. Now, using Kevorkian's design, patients who were ill could even administer the lethal dose of poison themselves. After years of rejection from national medical journals and media outlets, Kevorkian will finally become the focus of national attention for his machine and his proposal to set up a franchise of... He was going to set up a Wendy's of Death. Wendy's of Death is what he was going to have.
A franchise. I think we picked enough Wendy's. Let's find another place served. To pick on.
Jack in the Box.
Oh, no. Not Jack in the Box.
Jack in your box.
Wow. That's his fiance.
Jack put you in a box.
Yeah. Now, there's that. A franchise?
He was going to set up a franchise of obituariums.
Of what?
Obituariums, where doctors could help the terminally ill end their lives. Now, and typically the terminally ill, because from the moment you're born, you're terminally ill.
Sure.
I mean, we're all going to, you know, have it end at some point.
Speak for yourself.
Oh, except for Timmy over here. Because he's got all that clean living that he does. The clean living.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Living and feeding on the blood of his 28-year-old.
Right.
You know.
I don't think it's blood he's feeding on from that text yesterday.
From that text yesterday. Don't miss a drop either, Timmy. Don't you miss a drop.
I had to go home and I couldn't eat.
Could be blood. Depends on what.
I drank a lot. Oh, God. I had to drink
depends
so
on
much.
What time of the month it is.
I had to drink so much last night.
You don't do that.
Have you ever heard? I mean, inadvertently done that?
Oh, gotten your red
inadvertently.
Wings?
Inadvertently.
It's called getting your red wings. Yeah.
It's not good.
I knew people that would do that on purpose.
Yeah.
I've never done it on purpose, but I've done it and had it happen to me, and it doesn't really bother me one way or another. Nothing really bothers me. I'm pretty laid back that way.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm sorry. If you're going to go downtown Julie Brown, there needs to be some rules there.
There does need to be some rules.
There needs to be some.
Yeah.
You need to make sure you've got a tidy house.
If you're inviting company over.
That is flood free.
Yeah, if you're inviting company over, you ought to have the amp flow.
No flood damage.
I got to ask you to leave.
No flood damage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you don't invite people over if she's in town.
Well, that's
you accommodate.
But
you're
see,
the guest you have.
The thing is, sometimes she shows up unannounced.
She does, but. You know what? She's not so unannounced that it just happens to be that you're over visiting and she just busts through the door. Like,
that
usually,
happens, though.
But usually you kind of, there's a call. There's a call that comes before Aunt Flo gets there.
Usually what happens is Aunt Flo shows up and has been sitting on the couch 30 minutes before you realize she's even there.
Well, that
that's how it usually turns out for me.
Well, sometimes Aunt Flo is in the house and you know, no one just wants to mention it.
Yeah. Oh, no, Aunt Flo's upstairs sleeping.
So then you come up looking like Hannibal Lecter after eating. Carrie after prom.
Well, I come up looking like I got a mouthful of dead gerbil.
Yeah. Carrie after prom, there you are. Aw.
So, yeah, I don't know how we got on tangent, but
I think the two of you need to reevaluate some things.
You know what? Here's the thing.
I say five words this whole podcast, and all of a sudden we're talking about oral sex during a menstrual period.
The thing is, you know, Timmy and I are lucky to get it, so we're not going to look.
So you're not upset with the three-way with the flow there?
We're not about to look a gift vag in the mouth.
Well,
you know, that's all there is to it.
I think maybe you should, otherwise you're going to get a mouthful of nasty vag.
You know what? There's no such thing.
Oh.
Au contraire.
I've seen some people floating through here that I would.
Well, no, I'm not talking about
them. I would question that.
I'm just talking about, I've been married for a long, long time, so yes. I'm used to all kinds of.
Well, and I get that. I mean, you know, the occasional toot or whatever.
The veneer, those things happen. The veneer of decency and.
Oh, no, there's none.
Yeah,
it's been gone
because I've seen, and forgive me for this, Mrs. Colonel, but I've seen that bad stretch far enough for a head to pop out of
it. Well, sure. Well, sure.
And after that, really, the romance is gone. You know, the magic is gone.
Magic is gone.
The vagina was magic until that moment that I saw a head pop out of it. When I actually saw a human being claw its way out of that vagina, I thought, you know,
yeah it's just not the same.
It's not the same. So
Tim evidently doesn't care because he's actually never seen that. But
well, I'm just saying,
didn't faze him a bit.
At least they didn't walk out.
Logan damn near did.
He crawled out.
Yeah, Logan was
waving.
Logan about ready to drive a car by the time he got out.
Plus for lunch.
He looked like a beauty pageant contestant. Hello.
He slapped the doctor back. He was like, motherfucker, I'm one day old. Don't you ever touch it.
See?
So anyway, to get back to Dr. Jack here and off of this foul, foul subject we've been on. Dr. Kevorkian would become infamous, much like Timmy, in 1990 when he assisted in the suicide of Janet Atkins, a 54-year-old Alzheimer's patient who wasn't really even sure what she was asking for.
Yeah, she wasn't in her right mind.
I don't know. See,
how
not
many
really,
of us are, really?
Yeah, but still.
But when you get into Alzheimer's patients and it's like, you know, shit, I just thought he asked me if I want a pudding.
Right.
You know, he's got these tubes sticking in me all of a sudden. And that's not to make fun of Alzheimer's patients. I'm just saying.
No, that is what it is.
You don't fuck around with that.
But that's one of the.
They can't make informed decisions on.
Yes, and that's one of the pitfalls of doing that.
Yeah, and the thing about Alzheimer's patients, my next door neighbor went into a nursing home with Alzheimer's. And I would walk in. I visited her all the time because she was in the same one as my grandma. And I'd walk in and. She would say, you know, her daughter would be there, and she'd say, oh, this is Chucky. He lived next door. And the woman would be like, well, of course it's Chucky. I know right. who Chucky is. And then, you know, the next day I'd come up to visit, and she'd say, oh, Mom, Chucky's coming to visit you here. And you know, some Alzheimer's patients, I haven't been around a bunch, but some, their personality changes so much. Now, this was a very church-going proper lady. And she'd say, you know, the day before she knew it was me. And the next day, you know, because I tend to wear blue shirts and sometimes look like I got scrubs or whatever. She'd say.
And no T-shirts.
Yeah. But she'd say, what's another fucking doctor doing in here? I mean, just like that. You know, this woman never cussed in her whole life.
Yeah,
and she just
sad at that. If she was in her right mind, it embarrass her and.
Yeah, and it was very disconcerting, not as much for her, or not as much for me as it was for her, I'm sure. But now, Mrs. Atkins, who had Alzheimer's, she was a member of the Hemlock Society, an organization that advocates voluntary euthanasia for terminally ill patients before she came ill. So she was a member of this society before she came ill, so maybe she did have some thoughts on that. After she was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, she began searching for someone to end her life before the degenerative disease took full effect. She had heard about through the media about Kevorkian's invention of a suicide machine. And I'll tell you another thing, this is a suicide machine. You ever use those little bullet blenders?
Yeah.
That motherfucker's a suicide machine right there.
Yeah, don't put your fingers in it.
Well, you kill yourself with one of those some bitches. But anyway, she heard about this suicide machine, and she contacted Kevorkian about using the invention on her.
Do you know what is green and red and goes 90 miles an hour?
Green, red, goes 90 miles an hour. I do not, Timmy.
A frog in a blender.
That's true.
For Christ's sake.
That just made me think of it when you said.
That's true. Wow.
Did you Google sixth grade jokes?
I know. It was weak. I agree. It made me think about
Remember Bass-O-Matic from Saturday Night?
Yeah. Bass-O-Matic.
So anyway, so this woman hears about Kevorkian, and he agreed to assist her in a public park inside his Volkswagen van. Oh, you know he was just getting loads of ass driving around in a Volkswagen van.
Well, yeah.
With a death machine in it. You know, he couldn't.
What's that song about the van?
Yeah. You know? Making love in my Volkswagen van.
That's all right
with me. You know, think about that. That is a rapey ass song.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, it really is.
He picks up a girl.
Picked her up. And then she's sleeping, and he's looking at her thinking about
doing the
nasty to her. It's called Chevy Van. Mm-hmm. Look it up on YouTube and tell us, listeners, if that ain't one of the rapiest songs. He talks about how young she is, how it's like, picked her up in my van that had three puppies on the side.
I don't think he says that, but I'll look up the lyrics.
Yeah. Now, she had heard through the media about this suicide machine, so he helped her in a public park inside his VW van. He attached the IV, and she administered her own painkiller and then the poison. Within 5 minutes, she was dead. When the news hit media outlets, Kevorkian became a national celebrity and a criminal.
Well,
there you go.
The cool thing about this, not cool thing, but he's doing this in a fucking parking lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a Target parking lot. It was probably a Walmart parking lot. Because
death needs to come to you. You don't have to go to death.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when I broke my windshield.
Yes.
They come right down here and fix it.
Come right to my work and fix it.
And now I found a service. That when my cell phone breaks, because I tend to break cell phones a lot, they will come right here to work, pick up my cell phone, fix my cell phone, and bring it back to me at work.
Well, that's amazing. West Side.
No, it's they're a phone concierges.
Here's this song. Here's this lyrics. I gave a girl a ride in my wagon. She crawled in and took control. She was tired because her mind was a dragon. I said, get some sleep and dream of rock and roll. Was like a princess. She was laying there, moonlight dancing on her hair.
Is this a rapey song? It's a rapey song.
It is. I'm telling you.
It is.
It gets worse. This is the nice part.
She woke me up and took me by the hand. She's going to love me in my Chevy van, and that's
all right with me.
And then he dropped her off.
It gets even worse.
I put her out in town that was so small you could throw a rock from end to end. A dirt road, Main Street. She walked in her bare feet. It's a shame I won't be passing through again.
Yeah.
Oh, and then he just drops her off on the side of the road.
But he mentioned the old dirt road.
He mentioned the dirt road. See, there's a lot of metaphors in there. Basically, he's going 55 miles an hour and threw her out of the van on a backcountry road.
It's very rapey.
I mean, he didn't even give the poor girls her shoes.
You seriously haven't gotten through the first page of your fucking script yet?
Well, you guys keep interrupting.
Oh, for Christ's sake. We're going to be here all goddamn day. Timmy's got to get home. He's been here since 3 this morning.
I know. You seem a little cranky there, Devil. You seem a little edgy. for being on 2 Percocets and a half bottle of gin, you seem a little cranky.
My gin's running a little low. I got shit to do.
All right. Amp flow coming here.
No, goddamn it.
I'm just asking you.
Percocet wears off after 4 or 5 hours.
So. Okay, well.
Well, time for another dose.
Somebody's got to trudge through these because Timmy ain't chipping in.
But Timmy's getting ready to chip into Mommy's juice. Get ready to happen here.
So the state of Michigan immediately charged Kevorkian with her murder. This case was later dismissed, however, due to Michigan's indecisive stance on assisted suicide. In early 1991, a Michigan judge issued an injunction barring Kevorkian's use of a suicide machine. That same year, Michigan suspended his medical license, but that did not stop the doctor from continuing to assist with suicides.
Because he still had his van.
Yeah. Come on down to Dr. Jack's death house.
Did he have one of those bendy people, one of those air...
Yeah.
One of the guys?
We don't care about killing people. We don't care about making money.
We just
love to kill people. Yeah. So,
Yeah. Now he'll put you under and wash your car.
Exactly.
Well, you're going to have to. That's going to make a mess.
But now he's got a problem because he's not a doctor and he cannot gather the medications needed to use the Thanatron. So Kevorkian assembled a new machine and called it the Mercytron, which delivered carbon monoxide.
Why is
monoxide.
Tron? What is his deal with Tron?
Well, you know.
It's Greek, isn't it? Isn't Greek?
Yeah, for machine.
Yeah.
Machine.
That's stupid.
Oh, that makes sense. Like,
no, it makes sense. It just doesn't make it not stupid.
The Mercy Machine.
I don't think he put a lot of time in the branding of
it. Well,
he
really should have. Maybe that would have helped
his
case.
It's a tough thing to market. Now, this one delivered carbon monoxide through a gas mask.
From the van?
From the Chevy van.
From the Chevy van?
Yeah, that's how. So the following year, the Michigan legislature passed a bill outlawing all assisted suicide designed specifically to stop this crazy man from running around and killing people.
Yeah, they created a law just for him.
That's
pretty badass when a state legislature
creates
like
a law just
something
for
Chuck.
We have, I think he's underappreciated is what he is.
He is. I'm just convinced that the man was masturbating after he killed people.
Maybe.
I mean, why else
would
you do it?
Or during. Mm-hmm. Don't judge.
They need to do some DNA in that blacklight tests of the corpse because
just the van
and you know what that van looked like. There was shit on the ceiling, on the walls,
and that shag carpeting,
the 8-track, because the 8-track player. Now, as a result, Kevorkian was
black
light,
strobe light,
his strobe light, give him a epileptic stroke while they're doing it.
Disgusting.
As a result, Kevorkian was jailed twice that year. He was bailed out by a lawyer, Jeffrey Feiger, who helped Kevorkian escape conviction by successfully arguing that a person may not be found guilty of criminally assisting a suicide if they administered medication with the intent to relieve pain and suffering, even if it did increase the risk of death. Kevorkian was prosecuted 4 times in Michigan for assisted suicide. He was acquitted in 3 and a mistrial was declared in the 4th. Kevorkian was disappointed, telling reporters that he wanted to be imprisoned in order to shed light on the hypocrisy and corruption of society. That's why I want to go to prison.
He was cantankerous.
You think? I think he's just tired of people fucking with his mission.
I think he was just crazy.
I think he was just really, you know, he was very opinionated.
He loves his job.
Yeah, and he just wanted to. He would have been a good internet troll. You know,
he had his own opinion.
He just wants to hammer it home.
Well, in 1998, the Michigan legislature enacted a law making assisted suicide a felony punishable by a maximum 5-year prison sentence or a $10,000 fine. And all this, you know, I get all this, but God, guns are so damn easy to get.
I know.
Why you got to get other people involved in your mess?
It's ridiculous.
You know what I mean? Go out to the woods and do.
That's okay if you're able, but if you got like ALS and you can't do that.
Well, and never mind the fact that finding somebody just laying peacefully in death is a lot different than finding their brain splattered all over the Zenith television.
Zenith television.
No, you don't do it like that. What you do is you go.
It still even make Zenith.
In your car. I mean, unless you're bedridden, you get in
your
car.
Remember when they used to have like the stereo TV combo?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Console.
Oh, yeah.
The console TV with the record player on top.
No, look, we're talking about people that are unable to do that.
No, you can, no matter how sick you get. My brother had Lou Gehrig's disease.
Yes, we know.
He comes home one time. Now, I was convinced my brother was going to shoot himself before he died. But he died before he got to a really bad point.
I think if he died, he was probably at a bad point.
Well, no, he died much sooner than he should have.
He was actually pretty healthy
when he died. And strangely.
pretty healthy when he died.
He was pretty healthy. He was pretty healthy up until the day before he died.
I got you. I know what you're saying.
You know, because ALS takes its course where it just completely paralyzes you and everything else. The day before he died, he could have been carrying around an oxygen tank. You know, I mean, literally on his back, because it affected his chest muscles and back muscles, but not his legs and hands so much. But anyway, So I come home. His wife calls me, and she's just in a complete tizzy. And I was like, "What's the matter?" And she's like, "Joe's gone. I can't find Joe." And Joe had 2 acres, and you know, my first thought was Joe walked back out in the woods and he shot himself. Mm-hmm. And so I said, you know, Rhonda, go to the gun safe and tell me if the Browning High Power's in there, and tell me if the Ruger Blackhawk's in there. And she said, yeah. I said, well, then he didn't kill himself, because he'd use one of those too, because they're surefire guns to do it. But I'll come out there. My brother had made his way out to the garage, got into the golf cart, Timmy. Now, mm-hmm. Devil, you know this area out there. Rode his golf cart from his house up the Springdale Road to the Mini Mart to buy a Time magazine and something else, and then rode his golf cart back. Now, Springdale Road, you know how busy that is.
Right.
But I mean, explain that to our listeners, because
yeah, Springdale Road is it's a 4-lane road. Mm-hmm. My brother got in his goddamn golf cart because he didn't trust himself. Well, he couldn't drive. And he got in a golf cart and drove on a 4-lane road to the store.
Good for him.
And then he just drove. And the only thing he wanted to do was, I think, prove to himself that he could actually do it. You know, for 2 hours, we figured, you know, we're wondering where he went to kill himself. But he came back with a Time magazine, and he was happy. He did crazy shit like that. I
worried never for nothing.
Understood that. So anyway, in 1998, the Michigan legislature, they enact this law. It makes it a felony, assisted suicide a felony, punishable by a maximum 5-year prison sentence or $10,000 fine. They also closed the loophole that allowed Kevorkian allowed for his previous acquittals. Yet Kevorkian continued to assist patients. Meanwhile, the courts continued to pursue Kevorkian. No one, not one to stand down from a challenge, Kevorkian pursued his crusade in an even greater passion. In 1998, Timmy. That year, 1998, mm-hmm. he allowed the CBS television crew from 60 Minutes to air a tape he'd made of the lethal injection of Thomas Uke. Uke suffered from Lou Gehrig's disease and it requested Kevorkian's help. And you know what? Here's the thing. I don't know if it was around then, but my mama and my brother, they both got hospice.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, hospice, what they're doing is they're making sure that death is not a hideous, ugly
right.
thing.
Right. They're making you comfortable, as comfortable as you can.
At times, it becomes pretty much assisted suicide. My brother's last day, the nurse told us.
I think they just crank up
they give you so much morphine, and because morphine will calm you, and it helps you breathe easier, and it also kills you. And I think that's what they do with my brother. I think they gave him so much morphine that it shut the system down. And that was a very, very kind thing on their part.
The first modern hospice was created in 1967.
Okay, so hospice was around. So these people could have got hospice to come in. And, you know, that's way better than getting into this mess. Because, you know, the hospice person ain't going to be going back to his Volkswagen van and choking one off after he kills you. Looking down all at you. I mean, that's how I picture him in my head.
I know it's how you picture him.
What's he going to do, sue me?
No, he's dead.
Yeah. And did he kill himself?
I gave away the ending. Would you continue with the story, please?
Did he kill himself? That's all I'm asking.
Just because I'm not reading does not mean I'm still not the producer, so could you please get back to
the story? Also, now he wants to assert his power, Devil.
That's how he rolls.
Please continue. Okay. But you know what? Here's one thing you can't make me do. You can't make me read. You cannot make me read. I can sit here all damn day.
You can ask me if you like.
You can ask me nicely.
I'm not asking you again.
See, Devil.
Either read.
I believe we've come to an impasse here.
Just read.
Now, see, the devil asked nicely. So I would do it.
That was very polite.
Yeah, that was very polite. So On the recording, Kevorkian helped administer the drugs for his patient.
You got a point, though, because you work longer, you work later than I do, so you could be here.
I can be here all night. Following the broadcast footage, Kevorkian spoke to 60 Minutes reporters and Dad, double dog Dad, the courts to pursue him legally. He actually pointed to a judge who had prosecuted him before and said, "I just killed this guy. Kiss my ass." That's what he said.
No,
kiss my ass.
He didn't say that.
He did.
He.
You didn't research this well enough, did he?
You're making up facts. Fake news.
No, he said that.
Huh.
Now, prosecutors took notice, this time bringing a second-degree murder charge against Kevorkian. Kevorkian also decided to serve as his own legal counsel.
Yeah, that's never a good idea.
Generally not. No, I have done that one time, and I ended up getting dragged out of court because apparently you say certain things and it becomes contempt of court.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're very picky about the rules and the protocols.
You have a fool for a client.
I had a fool for a client and a fool for an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
On March 26, 1999, a jury in Oakland County convicted Mr. Jack of second-degree murder and the illegal delivery of a controlled substance. He was sentenced to 25 years in prison with the possibility of parole. During the next 3 years, he attempted to pursue the conviction to get it overturned in appeals court. Now, the motherfucker is a hypocritical sumbitch. If you're going to say I double-dog dare you to prosecute
me. Oh, he was, he was challenging them.
When they prosecute you and you get your 25 years, just say, okay, you win.
No, I mean, in his mind, he was fighting for a moral clause.
A greater cause, yeah, a higher good. His request was refused, Timmy, surprisingly. Lawyers representing Kevorkian sought to bring the case to the U.S. Supreme Court, but that was even declined. On June 1, 2007, 8 years after he'd been in jail, he was released from prison on good behavior.
Mm.
The former doctor promised not to assist any more suicides. He had a bunch of liver damage because he had that hep C that had chewed him up, and he didn't have much time to live. But, Timmy, Kevorkian mended.
Okay.
His liver got better, and he began touring the lecture circuit, speaking out about assisted suicide. Yeah. Now, think about that. He was at the end of his life. He could have used his Death-O-Tron on himself, but the candy-ass sumbitch decided not to, and then all of a sudden, he got better. I wonder how many people that he killed could have got better.
I think that's the point.
Yeah, because he killed like 75 people, right?
I think I've seen estimates that they believe over 100.
Over 100?
Mm-hmm.
He was a killing machine. He was the great white shark of doctors.
Hence the Tron.
The Tron, yeah. The Kevorkian-tron.
Right.
Yeah. Kevorkian soon mended, so he's on this lecture circuit. Now, in 2008, he announced plans to run as an independent candidate for the seat in the U.S. Congress representing Michigan.
They love that.
Yeah, he was running on the murder party.
Sure.
Though he didn't win the election.
He was running as an independent.
Hmm?
He ran as an independent.
You know that for sure?
Yes.
You was his campaign manager?
No, I researched this story.
He researched it. And it's not in there.
You know what? You could have put that in there, and then I wouldn't have had to make that up.
Well, if you didn't.
I got to make stuff up to fill in the gaps.
If you didn't just talk out your ass, I wouldn't have to correct you.
Devil, do you see the obvious gaps in this?
Obvious gaps.
And I got to make up facts.
You do.
Alternative
facts
are real facts.
No podcasting while I'm away.
Oh, we're podcasting.
Oh, we're podcasting. And we got some shit to say about you. In April, in 2010, HBO announced a film about Kevorkian's life. It's called You Don't Know Jack, and it will premiere in April. The movie starred film legend Al Pacino, famous as Michael Corleone in the Godfather trilogy, as Kevorkian, and also featured Susan Sarandon, famous for the hot chicken Bull Durham, and John Goodman, Roseanne's wife. On June 3rd.
Husband,
yeah.
I love John Goodman.
Don't you be picking his gender for him. He can pick his own gender.
John Goodman. Yeah, but you picked his
gender
for
him. He was
great on West Wing.
No.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Was he was great in a Big Lebowski.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was great.
There are rules.
And he was great in...
That's a foot foul, Smokey. Your foot crossed.
I never he got was that
great.
Movie.
He was
I
mean, great it was okay, in Damages. But... If you've not watched that show, that show is amazing. And he was so good in it. So crazy.
So on June 3rd, 2011, at the age of 83, Jack died at Beaumont Hospital in Royal Oak, Michigan. And he'd been hospitalized about 2 weeks with kidney and heart problems. He was survived by his sister, Flora Holzheimer. Dr. Jack is buried in Whitechapel Memorial Park Cemetery in Troy, Michigan, in California. In 2015, California became the sixth state in the U.S. to legalize physician-assisted suicide. And that, my friends, is the story of Dr. Jack.
Well, thank you, Chuck. That was lovely and enlightening. I appreciate your professionalism throughout that whole thing. And
well, thank you, Devil. I believe that this has been one of our more professional podcasts.
It has been one of our more professional podcasts. And
it seems like something's missing from this. Oh, maybe it's Timmy's constant interruptions and recaps.
Can you get through your shout-outs? Right
listen, excuse me. You're not even here, remember?
Wait a minute.
I can shut this down at any time.
I'm fucking this chicken right now.
I can stop it at any time.
Do we have some shout-outs, Colonel?
Oh, thank you.
Since you did, list yesterday, can we just do the one column today?
We got to...
So you're going to disappoint 200 people, basically.
You don't worry about it over there.
So hold on. Do you want me to hurry, or do you want me to?
No, I'm not even interested in your hurry. Just no. It's one call.
Wait.
Fine.
You are moderator, not producer. Producer what? Is moi.
Well, I think we got a power struggle.
Two columns, Colonel. Two columns.
I think
we're compromised.
Let me tell you something, motherfucker. I will read every name. I'll get the goddamn phone. Do we even have phone books anymore?
First of all, when you read in the columns, that does not every time include the Colonel's crew. They're in one column.
Let me tell you something, motherfucker.
You know what?
I will read
whoever I want. Didn't he say he was just going to sit over there? I'm not going to say nothing.
Quiet.
I'm not going to say nothing.
We're at the end of the show. Come on.
It's 2:15.
Yeah, let's roll.
It's 2:15. What the fuck time you got to be? You got to be somewhere. You got doctors, but dentist appointment. What do you
got
to do?
Hey, I got to check my eyesight.
Children. No, you don't. You're a lying motherfucker.
Shout-outs, Colonel.
Do the one column, and then we'll be good.
Okay.
And the one column is not the Colonel's crew.
Well, I got to introduce a couple people who are new, who not new, but dedicated themselves to the Colonel's cause, and that's Josh King.
Okay.
And Trish Cream Puff.
Oh, you misguided souls. Welcome.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I lost one to you, Angie Girl Lion.
Girl Lion.
Anna. I'm sorry. Anna Girl Lion. and you know what? She put it on the page. She was Team Colonel.
He is referring to the History Dweebs Facebook group, History Dweebs the Podcast. Join us.
Yeah, so, you know, she says, I'm undecided. So I say all these nice things to her. And she's like, okay, that's the deal. I'm you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm Team Colonel. And I'm like, cool. So, you know, I got a one over. And I continued to court the young lady.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a conversation on the page. She put it out there for everybody to see. And she is half Mexican and half Irish, which is an interesting combination.
Mm-hmm.
And last night, she became Benedict Arnold and went over to Team Brandy, Team Devil.
Mm-hmm.
She's one of Brandy's bitches now.
I court no one. They come of their own free will.
Yeah, so Anna Girl Lion.
And we have cheesecake.
You will have to live with yourself. You're going to have to live with your own grief and your own... I mean, you got to look yourself in the mirror, look yourself in the eye, and you're not going to be happy about it.
All right. So,
Let's do two columns here. We got, and the Colonel crew just happened to be in these two columns.
Oh,
so,
look at there.
We got Becky Omelet.
It's a fucking coincidence.
Did you hear somebody talking? Well, the language out of there is just ridiculous. Appalling.
It's appalling, and we wouldn't have this.
And unnecessary.
Could we be a family show just once?
Nah.
Unnecessary.
Yeah, it's unnecessary.
We didn't get our...
Gratuitous vulgarity.
We didn't get our quota of fucks in for this podcast.
I believe talking about going down on a hemorrhaging vag may have got us the E rating there, Timmy.
Well, it was done tastefully.
Yeah, you know what? Here's
as,
what I don't get.
As all of our and stuff maybe, is.
This is a legitimate question I got for you.
For who?
For you, Devil, because you're female and I ain't never experienced this.
Okay.
But okay, now I have cut myself very badly
before. I thought it was going to be a cooking question.
I've had a few cuts on my head that have bled profusely. Okay. Actually, I've had numbers of cuts on my head that have bled profusely. And at some point,
prophylactically,
yes.
Yeah, prophylactically. At some point, you become a little lightheaded and dizzy.
Yes.
So on those days where you run into the bathroom every hour.
Like heavy flow
days. Heavy flow days. Do you get dizzy and weak?
I don't know. Some people do. I don't. But see, I'm a badass, so.
I mean, how do you. I don't know. It's like. If
do you
I
ever worry about that, though? I mean, I would be. I mean, it'd be like bleeding. I mean, you know what I mean?
No.
I'd be worried about bleeding.
I mean, like if I stabbed you in the arm and gave you a really horrible, wicked gash in the arm and we didn't treat it, and you kept bleeding for a whole week out of your arm, you'd die.
You know, that's like having like prostate cancer where they don't operate. They just got like waitful watch or whatever. Yeah. That would drive me nuts, knowing that I'd have some form of cancer. I mean, not
getting my stepdad has the same thing. He's had it for 20 years. They told him something's going to kill you before then.
Yeah, I mean, it's often the case. I just mean it in my mind.
But let me tell you something. What was quite disturbing to me, my mama had been dead for quite some time. My stepfather, about 75 years old at this time, and so he's had it for 10 years. And he sees this woman occasionally, you know.
Do we even make it for a name?
He's having some problems, and they're going in to do a biopsy on some on his colon, or not his colon, his prostate. And I said, you know, you got prostate cancer. How'd you know? What made you come to the doctor? You know what he said to me, Timmy?
Mm.
I saw blood in my semen.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that would be disturbing.
Here's my question, Timmy. What's a 75-year-old man got with semen coming out of his body anyway?
Well, what are you
none
doing?
None of your fucking business. That's what it is.
What are you doing checking out your semen?
Well, apparently he was using a condom.
Well, or maybe he, you know, masturbates like a normal human being.
Well, that could be too, but I believe he said he's 75 years old, if, still having
then
intercourse.
Then I'm hoping
with
he's
this woman.
Masturbating, fantasizing. His fantasies are age appropriate, so he's thinking about a 70.
Oh, you mean like yours?
Yeah. So he's thinking about, you know, Betty White or something.
What the fuck?
Sometimes when I masturbate, I think about Betty White.
Yeah,
so yeah,
we're not going to talk about Betty White because she's awesome.
Shout outs, Colonel.
All right, let's see, speaking of hospice, we got the very sweet hospice nurse.
We have
MJ Howard.
We have a couple hospice.
Oh, do we?
Yeah,
I know MJ Howard's one.
Celine's been.
Celine is a hospice?
Well, she's been volunteering at a hospice place.
One of our listeners, I don't know if it's Fiona. We have a couple of listeners in Malaysia, and I know one of them.
Fiona's an Aussie, and she'll straighten you out on that real quick, Tim.
Yeah, but she lives in Malaysia. But we have one of our listeners is from Malaysia, and I apologize. I forget who, but she's a hospice nurse, I think. So
oh, okay.
It's a tough,
they're doing
tough
God's
job.
Work. Yes,
they are.
Yes.
Okay, well, I'll continue on. And,
Brittany,
some
of
you
is a nurse.
Are going to get missed, and you'll get picked up in the next one. I promise. And I'm
there is one.
Be work. Wow. He is such a dick today.
such a dick. Unnecessarily.
Like, you know, you know what it's like? It's like gathering up at the baseball field and having one kid show up and saying, you know, but I really don't want to play today.
Yeah.
I mean, that's. I mean.
All right, shout outs.
I mean, no, seriously. What we had, Timmy, was a little ones and zeros on my computer. And then I opened up Microsoft Word, and it turned this nonsensical stuff here into a script. But it was dead, Timmy.
What's he
me
talking about?
And the devil were like Dr. Frankenstein.
Like peas and carrots.
And we brought this into life. It was dead. We brought it to life. I think you should show
we bring good
some
things to
goddamn
life.
Appreciation for us.
Oh yeah, because this does a whole lot for me. I guess there's so many. It's so rewarding.
Ferrari that I am driving in the parking lot, and the countless women that are just throwing themselves at my feet. So
So don't you worry about our finances. You don't worry your pretty little head about it.
You got everything under control.
Everything is.
I'm going to be taken care of for life. Is what you're saying.
I'm saying you'll have no financial concerns. I've invested well.
Have you?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let me see.
That.
Did I? Okay. I'll start with Becky Omelet.
Something makes me not believe that.
I'm invested. Get this. It's a machine. It records television shows. It's called Beta. Next biggest thing.
It puts it on these tapes?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Because you know what? Those DVDs are you can't trust them.
No. That's a fad.
Yeah. It's going to go away soon. And you know, the shame Beta was much better. But anyway, Erica Clements, Sarah Morgan, Eric Dwight, Kirsty, my English friend, Kirsty Ramsden, Dave Hill, John Gray, Don Gordon, Kirsten Davidson, Susan Angles, Little Emmy Waterfall, Christian Dormer, Danielle Fredrickson, Tyra Jenkins, Amy Payne, Tracy Harper, Cheryl Pierce, Allison Shields, Monroe Blake, Lori McNally, Josh Hill. Here's where we're getting into the Colonel's crew. We already got Trish Creampuff and Josh King. We got Jessica Barnett, MJ Howard, Amber Krupp, a new administrator for the group. Lovely Jamie Tarantino, Maja from Poland, Donna Hellman, and our dear, dear friend who we hope is getting better and she's feeling a little bit better. It's Rachel Flynn, Timmy.
Yes, Rachel, we hope you're doing better.
She got her gallbladder out, she is.
She Not yet. I've been checking on her, though. Offered to take it out for her.
Yeah, I offered to take yours out.
Yeah, I've been reading on the internet.
Yeah, when are you going to use that TENS unit on him?
I'm waiting on him tomorrow. To sack up.
I don't know if we're going to do it tomorrow. Jen Wicks.
Seemed like an ideal time to me.
Liz Keating, the mascot, Fallon. Radhika Smith. Angie Cobes, Monica D'Agostino, Tiffany Shannon, Amanda Bocciball, Jess Williams. She's just something else, ain't she, Timmy?
She's a wonderful
Frances
lady.
Frances Dotton.
I really like Jessica.
Janet Fitzgerald. Here's another one, a little bit insane. I don't know if she's a redhead insane or a blonde insane because she's posted a couple pictures. I can't tell if she's. It's Karen Barnes.
Karen is lovely, and she is.
But is she a redhead? Is she blonde?
She is a Indians fan and a Cavaliers fan and a Browns fan.
So he doesn't know, is what he's saying.
I think it looks red to me, but I don't know.
She's a very lovely woman. She's a beautiful woman.
She is.
Another beautiful one is Jennifer Burdick, and another beautiful one. Oh, my ladies are beautiful. I should just call them the Colonel's beautiful lady crew. But Sarah Bloom.
Yes.
Angie Ball, of course. We know she's a redhead, which we love on this show. Nicola. Dear Nicola. And Allie and Charlie from Insight. Sammy James, your handler, Eddie Rushing. Lindsay, Chicago Lindsay, O'Brien McMillan. Tara Chinchilla, Jennifer Hawkins, Kim Kamikaze, Nancy Jalapeno, Toby Deese. Andy Sparaccio, Danielle Fredrickson, Mike Eisenhower, Rebecca Montanle. Let's see who we got here. Aaron Fowler, Carly Madsen, Robin Sanchez, TJ, Youngblood, Thomas Tui, Christine Hauer, Allie Nett, who I got twice on the list here, so I'm only getting you once today, Allie. Tracy Busby, Stewie Benton, Neil Eagleton, Natasha Davis, Nick and Molly. Steve Miller, Vicki Wallace, Becky Mitchell, Keith Frusty, Cheryl Muscu, Andy Valley, Mary Ray, Katie Moorhead, Christine Bourgeois, Jeff Appel.
See, he's not paying a bit of fucking attention.
Motherfucker, what are you in a coma over there?
I am currently looking at...
Some bitch finally had that stroke that we've been waiting on.
I'm currently looking at our Facebook group, making sure that everything is A-OK.
You know, we got other people to do that.
I know Amber and Jen are very good and very sweet of them to volunteer as mods, but I was just trying to
help them
out.
I don't know that they volunteered. I think you recruited them.
I recruited them because they do a great job.
Maggie Glover, Julia Miller, Dave Lampier, Bond.
Gene Bond.
A new listener, Allison Moon. John Cunningham, Gabby Lewis, Laura O'Reilly, Donna Hellman, Sydney and Michael, Stephanie Quick, Trixie, Gina Splane, Amber Amberson, William Truax, Denny Mack, of course, Byron Snellings, Bridget Clavey, Kate with a C, Katja, Jen Bolden, Olivia Meyer, Brian and Lisa Lawton, Donna Curran, Aaron Wentz, Phyllis Munson, Colton, all of the Trowbridge crew, Shonda and Larry, Teresa Slavin, Justin and TJ, Catherine Richardson, Celine, Britt and Chris, Missy Dean Horton, Linda, Sam Hildebrand, Jeff Girdley, the beautiful and lovely pair of Tasha and Ophelia, and Miss Lady Beverly, who we hope is doing very well over in England. We look forward to the adventures of her young daughter, Alexandra, and the woman that we do all this for, the woman that one day is going to be calling Dr. Jack Kevorkian, and then on you to me, Dottie Scott.
Underappreciated.
Hello,
Dottie.
We miss you, or we appreciate you and love you.
And it's
Dottie,
too bad your son is ungrateful.
Your son's kind of, and I know you raised him better, Dottie. That's the thing.
You did,
is
Dottie.
I know you raised him so much better. And is your other brother kind of a douche like you, Timmy?
Yeah, pretty much. Brandy, where
do
people find us?
No, you don't get to do this part.
I do get to do this
you
part.
You don't
where
get
do
to do this part.
Brandy, Brandy, I'm
Let's
sorry.
Let's wrap this up. Come on. It's 2.5 hours in
Turn his
thing.
Mic down.
Yeah, hold on. Timmy, I'm sorry. Oh, no, you can still hear me if I turn your mic off.
I can hear. Just don't mess with the sound, please.
Oh, we'll pad you
okay,
in a minute.
Chuck. Where can people find us?
People can find us on Facebook.
Yeah, we have two Facebook pages, the History Dweebs page, where we post history stuff.
Oh, we do? Do we do that?
Yeah, and the History Dweeb podcast page, where we interact with all of our listeners.
We also have our Twitter account.
We do. It's at
History Dweebs.
Oh,
and how often do you update that?
Never. Tim goes on. It's History. Is it History Dweebs 1? On Twitter.
I'm not here. I don't know.
And then you can follow Chuck at Chuck Walters.
Ad Hoc Walters.
You suck.
Listen, Spanky.
Listen here. Yeah. You know
zip
what?
It over there.
I'm telling you right now.
Okay, go ahead.
The talent here is getting a little tired of this nonsense. All right?
I know, I'm tired of it, but I keep putting up with
this
it.
This is like the old studio days where he just thinks he owns us.
I know. I don't like it. And you can also find us on iTunes.
Yes, please leave
us a review.
On
leave
iTunes.
Us good reviews
and would
so
you
people
like,
can find
and
us.
And Brandy, would you like to tell, would you like to give the listeners all of our latest good reviews? No, you can't do that because you don't know what they are. I will do that.
Oh, my
Brandy
God.
Brandy can do that. Brandy has the absolute.
No, seriously, we want to thank Bumber2076 for giving us a 5-star review.
Shitty McButthole over there.
Bloomy. It might be Sarah. I don't know if it's Sarah or not.
It's Sarah Bloom.
All right. Thank you, Sarah.
Quit being a dick to everybody.
And Phoenix STX, thank you for the 5-star review. Thank you very much, everyone. We really appreciate those reviews because it helps people find us. Okay.
Yes. Okay. So, Tim, any final thoughts?
No,
you don't have any.
No,
Chuck,
you both did a fine job.
Chuck, do you have any final thoughts?
We don't need your goddamn validation over here, Timmy.
We don't.
All right?
I was patronizing you, goddammit.
Here's what patronization
when you hear it?
Here's what you can do. You can keep rolling out these pulpy scripts.
What?
Pulp. Yeah, pulp. Like pulp.
He said
not,
He said it, and I stand
said,
by him.
Yeah, and Brandy stands by
I
me,
do,
damn
I stand
it.
By him. Chuck, you have anything that you want
to
add?
O'Reilly, she posts these pictures of these cats on the purple lounge. You're funnier now.
Check. I think that he was a sexual deviant that he got off on killing people.
All right, we're way past the story. Right. I think that...
You're not here.
I think that, I think he was just a cantankerous old bastard. Although, I believe... I believe that if someone wants to choose in their life, that there should be a way for them to do that, that is done in a compassionate way.
Yes. All right, everybody.
How about you, Brandy? What do you think about?
I do. I think that everybody should be able to make their own choice.
And you know, it's not up to the fucking state to make that choice.
No, I don't think
so.
And if
it comes to a point where I have to make that choice,
once you start doing where you can have your physician put you out, I think that's a slippery slope, because then you start getting into, well, this girl's 80 years old and we don't know what she's going to do and somebody needs a kidney.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
and
that's
like that.
That's always the argument, is the slippery slope argument.
But I think that if, like, the physician assisted, where they give you the means to do it yourself, I think that that needs to be, I think that should be an option. I think that you should have the right to not have people have to care for you if you don't want, you know, not have to be in diapers, right. not have to, right. you know,
right.
do you all that. So you should be able to do that.
In the Netherlands, you can do it for psych reasons. It's not
yeah,
just
if
physical.
You're, yeah, if you're, yeah. yeah. So, okay, well.
What are crazy people really should be the first to go?
We have.
Oh, really? They're, okay.
Well,
I'm looking at you, I kind of, I got, I'm okay with that.
I got medication, Timmy. I'm fine.
All right.
All right, everybody. We got to go, so we'll see you next time.
Please leave us some feedback on the page as to how much better it was without Mr. Drag Everybody Down here. Oh, what are you leaving at 2:30 today? Is that what your plan? Get the fuck out of here at 2:30? Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God. All right.
Do you even work
here anymore?
This is
the international sign for wrap it the hell up.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next time on History Dweebs.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Good day.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.